Well, take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Joshua. I'm looking at your theme there. What a wonderful theme you have for this year. And I want to mind the Lord this morning and give you some thoughts, very basic, very practical thoughts this morning about this. Can I say this? The benefits of being obedient for believers to the Bible. I can make that real simple. I can just say, I'll call the message Bob, okay? Benefits of obedience to the Bible, okay? Now, you'll remember that probably, but I want to talk about that this morning because it's something that I don't hear a whole lot, but I know something that's been helpful to me. It's one thing to read a lot of the Bible, and probably most of us in this room have read the Bible through. It's one thing to read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible. It's another thing, totally different, another thing to obey the Bible. And that's what we want to concentrate on this morning. I'll tell you why. The Bible says, forget not all thy benefits. There are benefits to acting on what you know the Bible tells you to do. So obeying the words of God, very simple. Also, Psalm 68 says, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Get that? I don't know about you, but I need and I want, not in a selfish vein, but I need and I want the blessings and the benefits of God every day. And can I be brutally honest with you this morning? The older you get, the more you desire that. Amen? When I walk, I want God to walk with me. You know why? Older people, it's easier for us to fall down. I want God to walk with me and to do it in a sensible way, but especially, yes, I'm speaking physically, but especially spiritually. Amen? It doesn't get easier to walk with the Lord the older you get, but you can walk with Him and you can receive those benefits. I don't know about you, but probably many of you work for an employer that provides benefits. Well, isn't that good? Maybe you live in a particular place where there's extra benefits provided. And I would far rather have the benefits that God offers than what man offers. Oh, I'm thankful for every benefit, but I want to... The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, speaks of course, pleasing God by faith. But the Bible says, hey, listen to this, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I seek Him by doing what He tells me to do. Obedience. Very simple, isn't it? Now, to obey, let me lay this out for you this morning. To obey simply means to follow a command. By the way, that's a Bible word right there. Follow a command or follow guidance. That's another Bible word right there. I'm giving you Webster's Dictionary of 1886, I believe it is, and so on. It helps with the King James Bible we have. But here it says to follow a command or guidance of a superior. Well, God is superior than man. Amen? So the definition is wonderful. Then it says also to conform or to comply with. To conform or to comply with. Did you know the word conform is also a Bible word? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So obey, you know what it means right up front, to follow the commands or guidance of a superior. So we know what it means here to obey the Word of God. And I think everyone in this room makes attempts to obey the Word of God. But what I want to do, if you'll allow me to this morning, is just simply give you several things that have been helpful to me in obeying the Word of God. Now, it's a lifelong process. The last day that I'm alive, the last day that I'm breathing, I will want to do something to obey the very words of God. So, in your Bibles, please, I mentioned Joshua, but I want you to first turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. That's a good start, easy to find this morning. Genesis, chapter number 1. And look very quickly at verse number 3, please. Verse number 3, and the Bible says, and God said. So, before mankind, God was speaking. And God's word is still here today. God's word, by the way, always has been. But He said this. Look what He said. He said, let there be light. Can I say to you this morning that this book is light?
Amen.
You feel you're in a dark place? Right here, how about the Bible? It's light and a lamp to your pathway. So then, this is Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. This is where it all started. Now, skip over to the book of Revelation and chapter number 1, please. And look what we have here, what it says about the words of God. Revelation chapter number 1. And look, please, at verse number 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. This is so simple. I can understand this. This is good. I think I can deal with this. I think I can get help from this. Blessed is he that readeth. Well, it's a good thing to read the Bible. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. It's a good thing to read the Bible. It's a good thing to hear the Bible. But look what it says after that. And keep those things which are written therein, for time is at hand. So what does it say here? It says you're blessed if you read the Bible. You're blessed if you meditate on the Bible. But you obey the Bible, God will bless you richly for that. So here we want to obey. Again, I'm interested in the benefits of obeying the Bible as a believer. There are benefits for you and benefits for I. Not in a selfish vein, but because I want to please the Lord. And if God has something to offer you, why would you not want to take it? We're his children. And there's benefits to being a child of God, far greater than this world will ever offer. Far greater. You'll never get anything greater than what God has to offer you. I hope you're beginning to pick up what I'm laying down this morning, that there are benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. This is not a name it, claim it, type of thought or message this morning, or not pie in the sky. Whoever said the Christian life would be easy, talk to Job. Talk to the Apostle Paul. Talk to Abraham. They all these people in the Bible from beginning to end fought the old nature just like you and me. But if I'm willing to obey, let's not focus this morning on what we haven't done or what we think we can't do, but let's focus on what we can do to obey the very words of God. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that you'd help us as we look at the Word of God. I ask that you'd help me, Lord, give me the words to say, hold back that which I should not say. Lord, I pray also that our hearts, each one in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, our hearts would be open to the very words of God. And Lord, we'd see there's something that we can do today in our lives and with our lives where we will be able to obey you and therefore receive the benefits and the blessings you offer us. Lord, I pray it be so, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Let me quote several verses, and we'll read the verse in Joshua in just a moment. But I'm thinking about this matter of obeying the word of God. Exodus chapter 19. You need not turn to these, but let me read them. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now I know if we all walk out in the yard and have a service out there, people are going to say, oh, those people at Anchor Baptist, they're peculiar. They're a little bit off. They're a little bit out to lunch. But God is saying in a good way, we'll be a peculiar people here. Jeremiah chapter 7. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a child of God and have God as my heavenly Father? Can I just be bluntly honest? Some of us, perhaps in this room, did not have a good experience with an earthly father. We will with the Heavenly Father. He is perfect. He is the ultimate Father. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 13. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he pronounced against you. I want to be on God's side. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, for the time has come that judgment must be... Oh, my soul, I got to read this. The time of judgment must begin at the house of God. Aha. Because the Bible goes on to say that there's a way that we should obey ourselves in the house of God. Let me read you another verse. And being made perfect, verse Hebrews chapter 5, and being made perfect, he became an author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Well, here we go again, obeying. O foolish Galatians, obviously in Galatians chapter 3, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Galatians chapter 5, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not What's the word? Obey the truth. Oh, this one, there's verses here for everybody. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You say, well, I'm not interested in pleasing my parents. How about interested in pleasing the Lord? And by the way, he says, children here. You know what? I'm a child of God. That applies to me. Children, he is my heavenly Father. I need to obey him. Then, of course, you're all familiar with this, and you'll like this verse, Acts chapter 5. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to, what's the word? Obey God rather than men. Now, that'll cheer us up right there and say, oh, I'm not going to listen to what man has to say. Well, the Bible does say that we have to obey the authority. And by the way, can I say this? Every one of us in this room have an authority in our life. That authority could be, you're sitting right there, so I got to use you. That authority could be you in your own life. You obey yourself. Or that authority could be Satan. Or the authority could be the Savior. All of us answer to somebody. And the best thing is, the best policy is to answer, of course, to the Lord. Now, in Joshua chapter number 1, please. Joshua chapter number 1, and you know the verse that I'm going to look at, I'm sure. I'm going to skip right down to verse number 8. I wanted to read some others, but because of time, I'll go ahead and just look at verse number 8 there, please. Verse number 8. And the Bible says, and you're very familiar with the verse this morning. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So we understand that so far, amen? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, look at this, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Promise number one in the Word of God. When I obey the Word of God, I will have success in my life. Who in this room would put your hand up this morning and say, well, I just want to be a failure in life. I want to fail at whatever I do. No, nobody's going to do that. Everyone with a sound mind, or maybe half a sound mind, they're going to say, I want to succeed at something. I want to be successful at something. By the way, can I make this comment? The only place you'll find success in the Word of God is this verse right here. The one time it's in the Bible, and it speaks about the very words of God. And he's making a promise here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night therein. And it goes on to say, thou shalt have good success. Can I say? You say, well, okay, I can do that. But did you know there's work to obeying God? Did you know that? I mean, you have to be diligent with yourself. And we'll talk a little more about that. But listen to this statement as well. The only place you'll find success before work is in the dictionary. Mark it down. I heard that, Mrs. Arvo and I heard that a man preaching over 50 years ago now. And he's a multimillionaire. And he's a fantastic preacher. He's since gone to heaven. But he made that statement, and I never forget it. I don't think it was original with him, but listen to this. The only place you'll ever find success before work is in the dictionary. You can check it out for yourself. You work, you'll have success. So there's a song in your song book, we'll work till Jesus comes, okay? Doesn't say we're going to lounge till Jesus comes, or we're going to fellowship till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. So you want success in your life? Understand that you do that by obeying the words of God. I grew up in a wonderful home. My parents were believers. My dad was a preacher. He preached for 60 years. Didn't pastor that long, but he became an evangelist later in life and traveled and so on. And there was a reason why my dad would tell me to do certain things as a kid. My dad, he had a study upstairs in the house with his two-story house. And he had a study there, where a big library where he studied for messages and sermons and all that kind of thing and so on. And on the wall right behind his desk and where he sat on this stately-looking chair, And when I had, Mom would say, go see Dad in his study. She knew I did something wrong. I didn't want to face Dad. I'd walk in there, and he'd be sitting like on a throne in there, and behind him on the wall was hanging a sword. And I never asked him what the sword was for, but I did find a verse in the Bible, Job 36:12, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword. And I knew that verse, and I thought, no, Lord, help me. But there was a reason why my dad would tell me to do certain things, and it was more character building than anything else, perhaps, but he would say to me, Larry, take the garbage out. Larry, walk the dog. Larry, go wash the car. Now, my dad was a loving man, but there's a reason why he told me to do certain things. There were benefits for me that I'm reaping today because I obeyed my dad when I was 8 years of age. There's a reason why, and you may dispute this with me, but there's a reason why when you're not well, you're ill, and the doctor tells you there's some things you need to do, there's a reason you ought to obey the doctor. When you get into trouble, and the lawyer tells you there's things you should do according to the law, there's a reason why you obey the lawyer. Those of you who are in school, in college, and so on, there's a reason that you should obey your instructor or your teacher. There's a reason why you obey. There's a reason why you obey the policeman. Amen? There are benefits to obeying the policeman. If you do something silly like I was tempted to do one time but never did, if you go bungee jumping, you better listen to the instructor when you're putting on the harness and the bungee cord. Amen? All I'm saying is, but far above that, ascending far above that, is this matter of obeying the very words of God. I want to be safe. I want to enjoy life. You see, there are benefits. If I obey the word of God, listen to this. If I obey the word of God, there's blessings in my life. If I obey the, I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. He is my heavenly Father. I am his son. He gives me instructions from the word of God. You'll never be perfect in this life. But what you have put in front of you, you ought to obey. You ought to do it to the best of your ability. We fail. Everybody knows that. But I'll give you, very interesting, this thought comes to me. Who wrote most of the Bible? Well, I'd say Moses wrote a good portion of the Bible. I would say that David wrote a good portion of the Bible. And I would say that Paul wrote a good portion of the Bible, penned, I should say, a good portion of the Bible. Did you know all of those three were troublemakers? All those three committed crimes? Did you know that? Yet God used them. God sanctified them. In other words, he put them aside for the specific purpose of penning the words of God. What would we have in this book? Now, I don't discount the other folks that penned books, but they wrote most of the book right here. And yet, they had trouble with obedience. You and I will, but we better simply pay mind to the word of God. So, number one thought is this, not necessarily a dynamic message, but you want blessings and benefits in your life, obey the words of God. If you want God to keep his hand upon your life, obey the words of God. Hey, how about this? If you want to see personal revival in your life, you ought to obey the words of God. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, okay, obey that. I will hear from heaven. And heal the land. You know the verse and so on. I'm paraphrasing here. But if I want revival, then I better pay heed to the word of God. There's a reason for that. You see, everybody wants to succeed. But if I want to succeed in my Christian life, I obey the word of God. Then, secondly, something else. Obeying the word of God produces joy. You may want to mark these references down because I'm going to move quickly. John 13:17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If you know these things, what the Word of God says, what we should do as a Christian, I mean, don't let yourself get too deep into that. You'll read something today, or you'll hear something in this message today, and you'll say, yeah, I need to do that. I need to be obedient to the Lord and just go ahead and do that. I started out, and I failed. I started out, and I stopped. I need to do that. Okay, then you go ahead and do that. The Bible says, obeying the Word of God, if ye know these things, happy are ye that you do them. Is there anyone in this room and say, I don't want to be happy? I want nothing to do with happiness. I want nothing to do with joy. People that are joyful and happy bother me. I don't know. There may be some odd ducks that would say that. But the truth is, hey, I just mentioned ducks. I got a good thought for you. Ducks have bills, but they're happy. That's terrible. It's not even in my notes, so that's why I threw it out there. Some of you may say, I wish I had more joy. I wish I had more happiness. Then obey the word of God. Oh, let me give you a thought from the scriptures in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice it says stand, sit, walk right there. But he who delighteth in the law of the Lord, in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. And because he does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then I'll just quote the last few words. The ungodly are not so. See, you are a peculiar person because you are a child of God. And he said, those that obey me are a peculiar people. And can I go ahead and say a special people? So, number one thought, you want success in your Christian life, the success that the Bible speaks about, not what the world speaks about. You want success, then obey the words of God. Obey what God puts in front of you. I hope you're leaning into that this morning. Obey what God puts in front of you. Secondly, if you want to have a joy in your life, you obey the words of God. People live according to the word of God, have joy in their life. Joy in the workplace, no matter how difficult it is. That can happen for those that obey the word of God. Joy in the neighborhood. If you want joy in your neighborhood, I do. Joy at the schoolhouse. Joy, how about this? Joy in relationships. Joy at church. You see, not a hopelessness like much of the world has, but joy. There's. You sing the chorus probably at this church. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Do you sing that? Yes. Sometimes? Some of you are looking at me funny. It's just, I'm special music for today, okay? That's it. Just deal with it. But I want joy. There's joy, real joy, wonderful joy since Jesus came into my heart. Happy are ye. I'd rather have happiness than depression. I'd rather have happiness and discouragement. I'm not making light of that. Every one of us face discouragement. But I can have joy if I'll do what Jesus... Hey, think about this. If I'll do what Jesus tells me to do, I've got this life with the blessings and the benefits from God, and I've got heaven too. Amen. Most of the world's not like that. Because unfortunately, and I say it with a heavy heart and a tear in my eye, that most of this world is destined for hell. But I'm a believer. I have the best of this life. One will take care of me here and then take me to heaven someday where all is bliss. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting, no ever saying goodbye up there. And forever I shall be with the one who died for me. What a day. What a day. What a day that will be. So understand that if I want joy, if I want success, obey the word of God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I think so. Do what you can. Do what God convicts you of. I mean, you read the Bible, you're going to find, every time you open the book, you're going to find something, you say, yeah, I should be doing that. It shows your love for the Lord when you do what he says. You know, love is a very misconstrued word in this generation right now. We say, oh, I just love you. Yeah, right. I just love you. You know, saying it is very easy, but you know what the Bible says? Let me give you the hard part here. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. God's saying, I'm a bit light here, but God's saying, I don't need your gift card. I don't need your latte from Starbucks. I don't need the chocolate cake. I just simply need you to obey me. That way I can tell you love me. Sorry, it's just the way it is. See, all I need is for you to obey me, and by that obedience, you're proving to me that you love me. We sing again. I refer to the psalm book. It's in your book. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, you do not prove your love to God or anybody else by saying, I love you. Sorry. I mean, it's nice, and I probably say it to my wife every day. Nod your head like this. Oh, there's so many songs about love. Of course, over the years that I've been alive, have I told you lately that I love you? That's one that comes to mind and so on. And love, 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 that's all there is. I understand all that stuff. But you show your love by obedience. You show your love by a gesture. He's saying here, if you love me, keep my commandments. You do not prove your love simply by saying, God, I love you. You prove your love. You see it, and I'm not making light or fun this morning. We say, oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. And that may be true. But how about the scriptures, okay? We're talking about the Bible that gives light where we can see and we're rewarded, the book of Revelation and so on. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Amen. Talk is cheap. Can I say that? Oh, my. So how do we love him? We love him by talking to him. What couple in this room has been married for a year or 10 years, or like Mrs. Arbo and I, 55 years, and you've never talked to each other? We do know a couple that have been married for many, many years, and both of them are deaf, but they talk with their hands. It's like this, I love you. That means I love you. I love you. I love you. If you love God, talk to him. Talk to him regularly. Talk to him daily. We may get sometimes tired of hearing someone we love talk and say, I just don't want to talk right now. But God will never get tired of hearing from you. Why did he create you in the first place? To have fellowship with you. Amen. So understand. I'm blessed by that. Talk to him. You're showing this morning your love for God when you make your way out to the local church, the institution for which Christ died. How about serving him? Serve the Lord with gladness. How about separation from the world? That's a sign that you, when you get married, you separate yourself from everybody else. Amen? And then the two become one. Understand all that. And how about holiness, being set apart? Be ye holy as I am holy, the Bible says, Old Testament and New Testament. I choose every year, I choose a verse for myself personally, Brother Yassin. And it's something I let the Lord speak to me about this year. It's a very interesting verse. Don't look it up now, but look it up later. But I've chosen Leviticus 20:26. Powerful verse. The Bible says that he says, be ye holy as I am holy, and I have severed you because I love you. I've severed you from the rest of the population. Holy unto the Lord. Wow, what a thought right there. So, how do we receive these benefits from the Lord? Let's see, verse number four on this list here. Obeying God's word keeps us from destroying our lives. Anybody ever driven a car that has front end problems or tire problems, and it keeps pulling you to the ditch, or worse than that, keeps you pulling into the center lane, and you're fighting it all the time? That can be sort of like the Christian life. You get in the middle of the road, you're going to get hit from both sides. But the truth is, let me give you the verse, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Right in here. What you commit to memory, you remember. Most of what you'll hear this morning, you will not remember. But what you memorize, or what you write down, you commit to memory. And you have, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, the word of God instructs us. You say, well, in my life, I struggle with some things. Then, oh, you know what? You know what the thing to do is just say, I'm struggling in this Christian life. It's no brainer to me. Be more obedient then. Put God to the test. The book of Malachi speaks of that. It speaks of tithes and so on. He says, put me to the test that I cannot open up the windows of heaven and pour out you blessings you cannot contain. Put your love for God to the test by simply obeying him. You see, better opportunities for survival of self, better opportunity for survival of your testimony, better opportunity for survival of those who you influence, better opportunity for survival of your career, your education, your character, and your future if you obey the words of God. Now, again, we understand, and God understands, we're not perfect. We will fail. But, you know, sometimes, would you admit with me this morning, some of us, I include me in this, my hands up, it takes a little longer for us to learn than others. Personal illustration, I have a younger brother, 3 years younger than me. And I'd watch Paul come in the house, and he'd walk across the kitchen floor with his muddy boots on. And my mother would, back to the door, take those boots off. She'd give him a lecture, and sometimes she'd a little stick, and she'd tune him up. So Larry's standing at the door. I'm smart. I saw what happened to him. I'm not walking across the floor with my boots on. I don't want to go that route. See, there's some things you can learn. You can learn from others who do not obey the word of God. You just go ahead and do it. So understand here that you can destroy, listen to this, you can destroy yourself mentally, you can destroy yourself emotionally, you can destroy yourself physically, and you won't lose your salvation, but you can destroy your testimony, spiritually speaking, if you do not take heed to the word of God and do what God tells you to do. So, we ought to obey the word of God because it brings us success, it brings joy, it tells God that we really do love him. So, oh, I love God, and we sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. But the way we show him we love him is by just simply obeying, and it's pretty simple. It proves your love for God. It prevents destruction in your life. I like this. It helps us to have victory in our Christian life, obeying the words of God. It helps us to have victory. Now, this is an unusual way to approach it, but James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist. We know what it is to resist, especially when it comes to chocolate cake. You give in far too easy, or pie. Now, you know what I'm saying? To resist means to put off. Nowhere in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, does it tell you to run from the devil. Now, it does say in the New Testament, flee youthful lusts. Understand that. But it does not say, you know what happens? What happens if you run from a dog that's attacking you? You're going to lose. What happens if someone should be so foolish as to come across, you're walking in Stanley Park and you see a bear come out of the woods? Run, sure. You're an athlete. It's like the two guys that are walking through the woods, and they're just having a chat and so on, and they see a bear. And one of the men sits down on the ground and takes out of his knapsack, he takes a pair of runners out, and he puts them on. And his friend says, you can't outrun that bear. He says, all I have to do is outrun you. but you don't run. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what I'm saying is you can have victory resisting the devil. Did Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, did he resist the devil? Yes, he did. And the devil left. Now he came back again later. But resist the devil and he will flee from you. Understand, you don't want to be defeated by Satan because you did not listen to the word of God and obey the word of God. You see, you can have victory over doubt, victory over failure, victory over jealousy, victory over hatred. All those things are motivated by Satan himself. Victory over vices, victory over bad language, victory over gossip, victory over temper. You can overcome those things because, let's face it, he's the author of all this stuff. The devil is a liar. We know that from the beginning. The very first book in the Bible tells us that. So understand that you can have benefits and blessings by obeying the word of God regarding victory. Then this is a big one here. Obeying the word of God shows I've allowed God to have the ultimate authority in my life. Who is in charge? Am I in charge of my own life? I'm my own man. That doesn't always work out too well. Do I let Satan rule? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, you need not turn to it. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, God is saying here, God is speaking, if I be a father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Do you honor me as an authority? He is our ultimate and final authority in the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that you may know. You know what to do. Now again, some of these things will be challenging. You say, well, I'm going to obey every word in the Bible. Well, I'll pray for you. I mean, we ought to attempt, every one of us ought to attempt to obey that which God puts in front of us. But I'll be honest with you, if you stop to think right now, give yourself 5 seconds, say, I just want to think about something that I need to obey God in my life that I've let slip or that I've not attempted yet. You'll come up with something. Amen. You will. Obeying the Word of God shows I've allowed God to have the ultimate authority in my life. You see, we're not only to be... I'm just about finished here. We're not just to be Christians when we show up at Anchor Baptist Church on Sunday morning and shake hands with people and smile, and I've got my tie on straight and I got my shoes shined and I'm very friendly and so on. No, I need to be that way on Monday morning too. When the world is a nasty place, I'm still saved on Monday like I was on Sunday. When the song leader gets up and he says, let's sing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, you're saved on Monday too. And you're saved on Tuesday too. And you're his child on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And that pretty well completes the whole week right there. So, 24/7. Again, and I refer to your psalm book. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. What's it say? Striving to please him in all that I do. Oh, really? Okay. Smile. Ask forgiveness. Say, Lord, what can I do to please? Oh, how about this? I think I've said this to my wife, and if I haven't, I better start saying it. What can I do to please you today? When's the last time you said that to God? If he's in, you say, oh, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. Okay, obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, understand all these things. So far, success comes from obeying God. We have joy because we obey God. It proves our love for God when we obey him. It prevents destruction that doesn't need to take place in our lives. It shows who has the authority in our life. No question about that. Who has the authority in your life regarding your life, regarding your career, regarding your relationships, regarding your music, regarding your speech and all that comes with that? Who has control right there? See, there's some things that I, frankly, being candid here this morning, there's some things that I've read in the Bible I don't understand. But I do understand that God said, thou shalt not. Or thou shalt. I don't understand why I shouldn't or why I should, but giving God the benefit of the doubt because he is supreme, he is above all, he is perfection. I certainly am not perfection. I'm going to yield to him. You all know what it means to yield. Amen? When you're driving and you're going around in a corner, how about the traffic circles? You have to do so. You have to learn to yield right there or you're going to get crushed. So we yield to the Lord in these things. And then it proves our friendship with Jesus. John 15:14. You know the verse. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. There isn't a better friend. The word friend has become so misconstrued again in this day and time. It is what it is, but social media. I have 55 friends. Really? If you have five quality, lifelong friends, I mean real, genuine friends who know you like a book and yet they still love you, those are friends. They don't unfriend you. You know what I'm saying? I want to be, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Well, if he's my friend, I'm his friend. I'm his lifelong friend. That's what the word says here. Just not the word friend. Yeah, are you a better friend to someone else than you are to Jesus? Is someone else more important in your life? Now, I love everybody. I do, and I believe we should. I don't love the things a lot of people do. But when I look at And I've been in this area many times. And if I see someone at the corner up here, and I've seen it at the bus stop, sitting there with a needle in their arm late at night, I don't say, oh, ugly. Look at Burnaby. No, I say, I love that person. I'll tell you why. That's a soul for whom Christ died right there. Same as the people that sit in this church service on a Sunday morning. Jesus died for sinners. Amen? Amen. But the Bible does say that there are some people that we should not befriend. And sometimes that includes believers. Mark them, the Bible says. Romans chapter 16, I won't quote the verse, but it says there are some people that we have to be careful that we're not friends with. We love them, we pray for them. Sometimes friends at a distance are a good thing. But the truth is, there is no, how about this, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You see, it can work out well for you when you do that. And then, I'll close with this thought. It makes it easier for you to face God one day when you do what he says. I mean, this is, Brother Ashton, this is all of life. I mean, yesterday we live on a rural property and our son and his family live on the same property and they have dogs. And yesterday, one of their big dog, got away, somehow escaped off the property. Her name's Maggie. I got word from them that someone saw their dog out on the highway, or out on the street, I should say. And so I head out the driveway. Our driveway's about 400 feet long. I'm out at the end of the driveway, and I see the dog. And I say, Maggie, get back here. And she's hanging her head. She knows she did wrong. Now, if a dog knows they did wrong, surely I can know that I've done wrong and ought to make amends. And ought to straighten things out. You see, understand here that obeying the word of God will help me. It will strengthen me. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may be confident and not be ashamed. Hello. Bible does speak of the fact that we can be ashamed at his coming, that we've not done some things we should have done right there. Amen? So, obeying his word gives me confidence. Can I give you another verse? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all, do you know what the word all means in Greek? It means all. It means everybody. Just kidding. And in Hebrew, it means all, everybody. We all, every believer, and you know this to be true, every believer will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ, to give an answer for what you've done in the body. The Bible tells us that. So the way for us to appear before him, make it easy for us to appear before him, is to do what he tells us to do. Pretty simple, I think. So obeying the word of God will help me to grow spiritually. 1 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone is to grow. Amen? It doesn't say how much there. It's the same as a child. Everyone in this room has been a child at one time, and many of you have raised children. Some grow rapidly, some grow slowly, and then spurt up and so on. But the first two words of that the first two words of that verse are powerful. But grow. I'm growing so slowly. But grow. Oh, it's such a struggle. But grow. But grow, but grow, but grow, grow a little bit. That's the way you ought to grow. So, you're blessed by that. Understand that there are benefits and blessings to this matter of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The little word let at the very first word in the verse, it means, can I say this kindly and lovingly? It means get out of the way. Let the word grow you. Let the word help you. So, I don't know about you, but I'm interested in the benefits and the blessings for the believer who is obedient to the Bible. Amen? So much. And you may think of something else this morning that you say, well, what about this in the Bible? This will help me grow. And you're right, it will. But I want the blessings and the benefits of God for my life and for the lives of my family and for those who I fellowship with. I want that. I can have that if I simply do what God tells me to do. God tells us to pray. God tells us to, and again, you know, the little song, little choruses, some of them are powerful. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Yeah. Hear Christ calling, come unto me. I go to him when I need help. Hope that's helpful this morning. Simply obeying the word of God. And thou shalt have good success. When I simply not just listen to it, not just read it, not just meditate on it, but go ahead and do it. Wow. Isn't God good? Amen. To allow us the benefits and the blessings? That's grace right there. I don't deserve it. Grace, unmerited favor. That's mercy right there. God withholding from me that which I deserve. I don't deserve any of this. But because I'm obedient to his word, he'll bless me and bless me unspeakably. Let's bow in a word of prayer.